Amen. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me breathing? How am I doing this? Like that? It's sliding off. How about like that? Is that better? Okay, I'm not used to this kind of thing. I usually just hold a mic. Okay. My name is Tamara Bennett. I am a certified lay minister, and I am also a certified lay speaker. And I am from Unity United Methodist Church, where I serve in the outreach and community, and I just really actually do a lot of things. I am so blessed to be here today to see friendly, smiling faces. And I was just so glad to be able to meet and greet every one of you in the house of the Lord today. Today we are going to be talking about living a prayer life like Daniel. And I really love prayer. Prayer is everything. It is our connection to our Heavenly Father. And so I feel so blessed that God is going to use me as his vessel today, because this is not about me, but about him. May you please bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly, gracious Father, wonderful Father, creator of all things, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time of worship, Lord, that we can turn and focus our whole selves upon you. Oh, Heavenly, gracious Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit come upon us, Lord, as we are here in your presence, Lord. May your Spirit move around and through us, Lord, that we may be filled with you and with your love, Lord, and with your understanding. May this be your words, Lord, and not my own. This is about you and worshiping you, Lord, and it's got nothing about to do about me. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful, wonderful, welcoming community that I am in presence with today. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. In your precious name, amen. I gotta say, the weather is making me dry. So forgive me for getting water every now and then, but I don't want to be like making sticking noises into the microphone. The many Jews exiled in Babylon feared that God had forgotten them, that he was no longer in control with the swirl of human events. Daniel's life and prophecies gave them and us hope and restored their faith in the sovereignty of their God. May we appear to be running out of control. But Daniel's prayer shows that he believed with all of his heart that God is in control. And we can safely frame our lives on resolute truth in God's care. When you invite Jesus into the home of your being, into your heart, being born again, you ask what being born again means. It doesn't mean that you're going to go through birth again. It means that you are starting a new life because you've got the Spirit of the Lord alive within you. You're supposed to also give him the running of the house. Make him Lord of your whole life. That's hard. However, many of us are slow to do that completely. Whether we admit it or not, We hesitate to believe that God can be trusted with every area of our lives. Daniel lived his life devoted to God. We have this prayer that he prays, and you can just hear him cry out to our Lord. One thing we know is the scripture is that Daniel was also in God's word. This is God's word. I do this in every sermon I do. It is vital, vital for our lives to be in scripture. Daniel was in scripture. He was in the scrolls learning about our Father. And it shows in the book that he was also studying God's word. He is a great example. That is why he is crying out now, because he knows that God's promise is about to come true. If you really want to know God, it is all right here in his living word. The Bible pertains to life back then, and it pertains to our lives now. It is a book about how we live our lives, and the scriptures teach us how to pray. It is a book about how we should live every day. Jesus prayed over 2,000 years ago for us. For us. In Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Matthew 6:5-6, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full in reward, their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When it comes to prayer, attitude is everything. But you also have to be careful that you are praying for the right reason. And don't doubt the Lord. Don't be greedy with self-motives. Jesus' brother James said in chapter 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. James also says in 1:6-7, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. At salvation, we become rightly related to God as his children. He permanently seals us with the Holy Spirit and declares us righteous forever, because our position is in Jesus Christ. But the Bible also uses the word righteous to describe to believers' conduct. This means that to be called a righteous person, we must be found in Christ. In Philemon 3:9, make it a habit to obey God. In Ephesians 4:1 and Colossians 1:10, it states, if we willingly and knowingly engage in sin, then we do not live righteously and our prayers will lack power. When the Lord hears the impassioned prayer of a righteous person whose life reflects God's way, Scripture promises that the Holy Spirit will begin his divine work. God responds with great power to the prayers of even one righteous person. And that person can be one of us or all of us. You now know that God promises to be there for us. Now, God may have a different plan than you have, but always believe that he is doing right by you. And God's will be done. Not our will, but God's. Sometimes we don't like that. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't like the answers that we get. But he has a plan for it. And we have to believe it. We bring our prayers to God on the basis of who he is, not on the basis of who we are or what we have done. We stand tallest and strongest when we bow low in prayer. Daniel's petition was based on the character of God, his greatness, awesomeness, faithfulness, righteousness, forgiveness, mercies, and his interests. Your people, your city, your holy mountain, your sanctuary. Prayer is about our one-on-one with God. To a toddler, the world is wide, a wide place full of curiosities and excitement, but often the funniest things scare them. A little boy who sees a bug can go running and screaming and crying crocodile tears to his mother and run into his arms to be comforted. A little girl can be screaming for her daddy because she thinks there's a monster around the corner and she wants him to shoo him away. There is no embarrassment, no regret, just pure fear and absolute trust that their parents will fix whatever is wrong. Witnessing this can be a vivid reminder of our need to turn to run to our Heavenly Father and throw ourselves into his arms when the trials of life become too much for us to bear as well. But is that the only time that we should go to our Father, is when we're afraid? None of us are exempt from prayer. A lot of us say we do not have time for prayer. Prayer is essential. It is life-sustaining. It is our lifeline to our Father in heaven. Prayer is the duty of all believers. We have to continue steadfastly in prayer. The word continue means to be constant, persevering, and unwavering in prayer. It means to be in constant and unbroken prayer, to be in constant and unbroken fellowship and communion with God. It means to walk and breathe prayer, to live and move and have you being in prayer. It means to never face a moment when you are not in prayer. How is this possible? How is this possible? When we have so much going on in our lives, kids, school, work, got to run this errand, got to run that errand. It is hard. It is hard. It sounds impossible. But I'm going to give you some little notes here. Develop an attitude of prayer. How? Prayer is the best way to communicate with God, but many people avoid prayer because they think that God doesn't like to listen and answers their prayers only in times of great need. Others pray and feel their prayers are not answered. When you pray effectively, you are guaranteed an answer from heaven. Walk in a spirit of prayer. What does that mean? The Bible has something to say about this. We cannot walk in the Spirit and fulfill our own desires. We must choose to do one or the other. God's requirement is to focus on going about daily activities, doing the things that pleases Him, rather than focusing on ourselves. I have come to walking in the Spirit as meaning that I am turning my back on my own desires. The things that I move away from are works of the flesh. It is me versus the Spirit. I choose to move in the direction of the Spirit. I pray for the commitment to continue walking forward, never looking back. How can we do that? There's a thing called breath prayers, where you can just say, God, you're awesome. God, please help me in this time of need. I'm really stressing here at work. It only takes a word or two. It doesn't have to be forever and ever and going on and on. It could just be praising God. It could be just asking God for some guidance right there at that one moment. But it takes practice. Take a mental break from your work and spend a moment in prayer throughout the day. Who goes on lunch? I know I do. Good time to pray. Pray always when your mind is not upon some duty. Now, I got to tell you, I have ADD. That is almost impossible for me because I'm always running and then I just forget. But we're human and we all do this. But it takes practice. It just takes practice. Arise early and pray before daily activities begin. Spend a time of worship with God in prayer. Is it okay to wake up 5 minutes earlier? My husband and I started doing this before he leaves for work, and he's trying to get me to get up so I can go to work. But we started praying together in the morning, and I gotta tell you, it sets the day for me to be in an attitude of prayer and to pray for my family and my friends and my church and my community. It really does change. And it also brings us closer to one another. Spend an extended time in prayer before you go to bed. I do a devotional before I go to bed, and I read, and then I pray. 5 minutes earlier to bed. That's all it takes. In all honesty, the vast majority of us waste minute after minute, every hour, unless daydreaming and wandering thoughts. In all honesty, the vast majority of us waste minute after minute, every hour, in useless daydreaming and wandering thoughts, wasting precious time that could be spent in prayer. If we could learn to captivate these minutes for prayer, we would discover that it is what it is to walk and live in prayer. This is something God cannot do for you. You are the one who has to discipline yourself to pray. God cannot do it for you. You have to do this for yourself. Prayer is about commitment. Fellowship. The dictionary definition is companionship, a friendly association, mutual sharing, and a group of people with the same interests. In the biblical sense, it's even more than that. Fellowship has to do with mutuality in all parts of your life. You bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You pray for one another. You love one another. You help one another. When there is a material need, you weep with those who weep. You rejoice with those who rejoice. It's growing in association with people who are moving in the same pathway you are and sharing with each other in your times of victory or need or your times of trial or triumph. It's growing in relationship. Fellowship is instrumental in shaping us. The Bible says that we become like those we spend time with, and good friends sharpen one another just as iron sharpens iron. And we can find that in Proverbs 20. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is reason enough to spend time with other believers. No two churches are alike. Each has its own personality. Some are great, some are good, and some are not so good. We are all called to be the church. So the church does not need to be a beautiful building. When you come to worship as a group of believers, do you feel the love of God there, and do you really receive it in abundance from the people? You want to feel love and acceptance within your group. You want to make sure that your leader is leading by example. Have you ever been in prayer in a circle? You know, and everybody's holding hands, and you say, okay, come on, let's go. We're going to get in a circle, and everybody, let's hold hands. We're going to go around, we're going to pray. And then all of a sudden, fear strikes. And you're like, what am I going to say? Oh, my goodness, what am I going to say? Oh, they're getting closer to coming to me. What am I going to say? This was me. This was me. And pretty soon I feel that little squeeze on my hand, and I'm like, oh. And then I just blurt out whatever. And then after I'm done, I squeeze the other person's hand real quick, maybe too tightly. And then all I think about, what did I say? How did I sound? Did I sound weird? I ask my husband, I ask him all the time, did I sound weird? Did I sound weird during while I was giving that service? Because I will ask him after I'm done with this. Did I sound really weird? But you want to know something? You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to say a word. As long as your heart is in the spirit of prayer, you could just squeeze that other hand and pass along. Because you want to know what happens when you're freaking out and everything? You totally were not in the group. You didn't hear anyone's prayer. You were all focused about who? Me. Ourselves. I'm sorry. I tell you the truth. It takes practice and it takes a lot of faith. Our Father just wants a relationship with you no matter what. If you feel anxious, don't be. Don't be anxious. And you know, when we come together, the Spirit moves. We are so used to noise. And you know what? We don't have to speak to be in prayer. Some of the best prayers are in silence. But we are a world of noise. We constantly feel uncomfortable in silence. But you don't have to be, because you're not alone. Your spirit is moving within you. Quiet time is great. It's when the Spirit fills us. Intercessory prayer is when you pray for people. The highs and lows, the educated and uneducated, the important and unimportant, the rich and the poor, the leader and the followers, the old and the young, the friend and the enemy. Pray for all men or women. Do not neglect, ignore, or pass any person. Every person needs prayer. Every person needs God. His salvation, his care, his direction, his approval, and his acceptance. You are encouraged and charged to pray. When you see special needs in the lives, great sense of urgency, you are to plead and beg for that person or persons. The idea is that of intense and deep brokenness before God in behalf of others, that God would help and save that person. It could be so powerful and so moving. I have never felt anything like it before in my life until I joined an intercessory prayer. And my life has never been the same. Remember me being in the circle and thinking all those thoughts and things and it being all about me? Oh, not me anymore. I am a prayer warrior. I am blessed to be, you know, God blessed me with that. And I thank him so much to give me that gift. And I just know that it has changed my life. And it can change yours too. Prayer is also about family. How can we make family prayer a priority? Prayer is the life breath and the heartbeat of our truly Christian home. It is also one of the best ways to help your family thrive. When you pray together, each member of the family learns what it means to be intimate with God. When you see prayers, answers to prayer, you experience his love, his presence in your daily lives. To say this in another way, prayer is vital because it provides a practical demonstration of the importance of faith. Indeed, praying together is one of the most critical things you can do to pass your convictions on to the next generation. Kids need to see genuine faith acted out in their parents' lives. Actions speak louder than words. So let your children hear you bringing your needs and requests before the Lord in the attitude of humble expectancy. When they do, they'll get the idea of that our Heavenly Father can be trusted to guide us through every situation in life we encounter. This can lead to some important and deeply meaningful discussions and spiritual things. In addition to strengthening each other's individual's connection with God, prayer is the side effect of deepening interpersonal relationships. It encourages family members to become more sensitive to one another's feelings. Prayer is all about intimacy with the Lord and with one another. The familiar, time-worn saying is true: families who pray together stay together. In this world of brokenness, wouldn't this be great? Because shared experiences of prayer quickly become opportunities to express mutual love, forgiveness, and grace. It is hard to hold on to grudges and cherish resentments when we're on our knees together before the Lord. As an act of shared intimacy, prayer creates family cohesiveness and strengthens the bond between husband and wife, brother and sister, parent and child. Your family prayers will be successful to the extent that you can veer them to your children's intimate needs and interests. That doesn't have to be a difficult assignment. Just keep their level of maturity in mind. Use language that they can understand. Remember that simplicity is the key at every stage of the developmental journey. Use bedtimes, mealtimes, disciplinary, when they get in trouble. I'm just going to say it like that. When they get in trouble, conversations in the car and discussions about childish fears and phobias has opportunities to help your kids trust the Lord and get comfortable in His presence. As they grow, pray with them about their personal struggles. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything. By prayer and petition, be thankful. Present your requests to God. Then when answers come, draw attention to them by thanking God for what He's done. Keep a list of answered prayers on the refrigerator door. We as parents, relatives, friends, we are held accountable to make our children disciples for Jesus Christ. I have a poster in my office that says, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Is that what we want for our children? I don't want that for my children. My daughter Samantha, she's in college, and she's kind of struggled through school. She had to go through speech and everything up until sixth grade. And, at fourth grade, the teacher said that, you know, she's not going to get any higher than a D in her whole entire life. That's just how she's going to be. A teacher. Well, we weren't going to go for that. So we enrolled her in Sylvan. And with 9 months, she was an A, straight A student. It's expensive, but it's so worth it because it changed her life. And she became faithful in prayer. Because I know she gets anxiety when tests come. She stresses out because I did when I was a kid. She's just like me. But we pray on the phone. I say, just give it over to God. You studied. You know it. You know God's right there for you. So before you pick up that pencil, bow your head and pray. And she does. And it works. Also, my granddaughter, she's 3 years old. And she goes to a Christian daycare. And they are teaching her prayers and songs and stuff. And one of the most beautiful prayers I have ever heard is her prayer for mealtime. Now, mind you, she's 3 years old, and I can't sing, but I'm going to try. She goes, oh, the Lord is good to me, and I want to praise the Lord. Johnny Appleseed, amen. I mean, at least she's getting some of it, and she knows that she needs to say amen, and she's thanking God, and she knows that He is good. We can learn a lot from our children. It is our responsibility to teach them, mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and even friends. We have to pass down our faith. We have to tell our faith stories. Who else is going to do it? Nobody. And we are held accountable for them. We need to be involved in our children's lives. We need to teach them how to pray. Some of us did not get this as a child, and some of us didn't have children to be able to do this. But the six steps that were given earlier are for you. Learn them and pass them on. Develop an attitude of prayer. Walk in a spirit of prayer. Take a mental break from work and spend a moment in prayer. Pray always when your mind is not upon some duty. Arise early and pray. Pray before bed. Prayer is for everyone. Have you ever felt movement in the pit of your stomach or warm and tingly all over when you are praising God through song or prayer? Maybe even cry when you hear a specific song. That's what Casey and I were talking about last night. Who's going to cry first over these songs that were picked today? And by the way, she plays beautifully. And do you ever feel that you just want to shout out, praise you, Lord? Amen. Thank you, Father. Raise your hand. Dance. Or everyone has experienced the Holy Spirit. Everyone has. But sometimes it may come in a quiet peace, a peace within. It doesn't always have to be a shake me up and a earthquake and shattering. I know the Lord comes to me through tingling and I just get going and I sometimes just go on forever and can't stop. But that's just me. Because I just want to praise God for what he has done for me in my life, where he's sending me to go. And I'm so excited because you want to know something? I'm sitting here with a room full of believers that have their own paths that God has set before you. And that's exciting. That is exciting. I would love to hear what God has put on your heart and what paths he's making you, go down. And sometimes it might be some trials. Believe me, I've tripped over stones and boulders this year. Been a really rough year for me. I lost my mother-in-law, my mom and dad, and just a few weeks ago, my dog of 16 years, my twin brother, had to go through emergency cancer surgery because they found a mass in his colon. But praise God, he was healed. I am so thankful. I grieve for my parents, but that's a personal thing. But I give God all the glory that they are no longer in pain. And they are up there singing glory, glory, hallelujah to our Lord Jesus. And I know one day I will see them again. So it was never a goodbye. It was a see you later. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I had to go through that in my time of grief, where I just didn't come up with any words. I couldn't. But I trusted God, and I knew God had put this Holy Spirit in me, that he was praying for me and my family to get through this rough path, to just rely and trust on him and just let him hold me and love on me and give me peace in that silence. Daniel was concerned about God's reputation, not his own. The glory of the Lord was his driving motivation in prayer. And so he concludes, O Lord, hear me. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not on your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Daniel's one consuming passion in prayer was God's glory. Is that yours? The church is so much like ancient Israel in her sin. May we be more like Daniel in our prayers. If you have not experienced Jesus in your life and you want to, I invite you to come up after our service, after our closing prayer, and we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. Let us strive to be like Daniel, to be that person that loved, trusted, obeyed, worshiped, and prayed to our God every day. But put prayer first in our everyday lives. I promise you, your lives will be forever changed. Let us pray, please. Heavenly gracious Father, thank you for your loving words today. Thank you for this community of faithful brothers and sisters, Lord. I ask that you, Lord, have opened their eyes and their ears, and that they will go out and be your church, Lord, that they will become prayer warriors, Lord. Heavenly gracious Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit just open them up to the possibilities of being praying with their families, Lord, and passing down their faith, Lord, to their children, their grandchildren, their neighbors, their friends. Oh, heavenly gracious Father, you are almighty and all-powerful, Lord. You, Lord, are the Almighty. You're the beginning and the end. Heavenly Father, send us forth and let us just breathe you and your precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.